back to Search the Scriptures. Great to be back with you again today. We're so thankful to have this opportunity once again to get with you and open up God's Word. We appreciate hearing from many of you. We appreciate knowing that there are so many out there who want to learn the Bible better and more fully, more deeply, with greater understanding. And that's really, to a great degree, what we try to do on Search the Scriptures each day. We want to bring God glory. We want to glorify His name by teaching His Word accurately and effectively. And we strive to do that. We really take that goal and that mission seriously. We don't have this program just to take up a slot in a area of work for the church, or to take up, spend a budgetary item. We do this because we want to help people get to heaven. We want to help people come to God accurately, effectively, and purposefully. We want to help you be in heaven. If you have not yet come to the point where you can say, I'm on the right road, then we want to help you get on the right road. And many people think they're on the right road, but as we study together, they may come to realize, I was mistaken, and I need to learn some more. I've met with and talked to many people who were in that kind of state of mind, only to come to realize later that, I thought I was okay. I thought I was right, but I just didn't understand it fully. I needed to learn some more. And they become thankful that somebody was there to try to help them learn more accurately. So we really do pray for you. We really do care about you. We really do want to help you along this line. At the end of the program today, we're going to give you some information by which you can contact us, and we'd love to send you a free Bible study. We send this all across the country. We always offer it. It's always free. We'll even take care of the postage. We don't want you to send us anything for it. We want to send it to you, and we want to help you in your spiritual life in this way. Now, you can also receive a copy of today's program on CD, or any of the programs on Search the Scriptures on CD, and they're all free, and again, we'll take care of the postage. So have a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper ready, and jot down that information at the end of the program today, and then contact us, and we'll get that material to you. Hope you'll do that. Good to be back today again as we continue our study in God's Word with Dennis Stackhouse.
Thank you so much, Gary. Always good to be with you on the program. Always good to have a word of welcome for our listeners. We're certainly pleased that you've chosen to join us, and we know that many of you do so because you are interested in getting better acquainted with God's Word. Hopefully we can help you along that way. I think it's really important what you mentioned just a moment ago, Gary, speaking about having to learn. And I think you're exactly right that many times in life, whether it's something physical or something spiritual, we may not have all the information that we need. And when we're fortunate, there are people around us who can help us grow in those areas where we're lacking. I think about an individual named Apollos, who is spoken about in Acts chapter 18. He's identified in verse 24 as an eloquent man who is mighty in the Scriptures. In verse 25 of Acts chapter 18, it goes on to say, he'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, that he was fervent in spirit, that he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, but there's a little caveat at the end of that 25th verse. He knew only the baptism of John. But when we drop down to verse 26 of Acts chapter 18, we read this. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. What a blessing it was for Apollos to have Aquila and Priscilla available at that time to help him learn God's way more accurately. And you're right, Gary. There are many times in our lives when we need that ourselves. And hopefully, when that time occurs, there will be somebody there who will help us understand God's Word more accurately and will lead us to the point that we understand how important it is for us to make the necessary changes and get on that right path that leads to heaven. Hopefully, here on the program, we can help you do just that. Thank you for joining us again today.
And you know, Dennis, one of the most foolish positions we can take is to be so swelled up with pride that we can't admit that we need some help.
That's exactly right. And if we have that kind of pride, chances are we're not going to admit our need.
That's right. And even when that help or that correction is given to someone, whether it's on the job or maybe it's, you know, a spouse talking to her mate or his mate and saying, you know, you are doing this wrong, you know, you're making a mistake here or making a mistake there, and you're just so full of pride that you can't accept the statement or the direction, the correction that, you know, you need to change.
Yes. Yeah, and it really is a hard thing for us because, you know, as human beings, we have that tendency to think, well, we know what's best for ourselves, but in many cases, we don't.
That's correct. That's correct. Well, Dennis, we're talking about the need for mercy from God.
We are.
And that really begins with a self-realization that I am wrong.
It does.
I need God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been looking at a text of scripture that's wherein our Lord, through a parable in Luke chapter 18, has used the illustration of two men, Pharisee and a tax collector, in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And it focuses on their prayers. They go up to the temple to pray, and the one, the Pharisee, is a respected spiritual leader within the Jewish community.
He certainly is. And the people of the day would have thought of him very highly.
The tax collector, on the other hand, is looked down upon by the Jewish people as being unscrupulous, corrupt, maybe even a thief.
Yeah, in many cases, I think that's exactly right.
And yet, when they go up to the temple to pray, so we noted the contrast between the two men. When they go up to the temple to pray, they pray fairly short prayers, but the tax collector's is much shorter than the Pharisee's.
It is.
And someone might say, well, sure, the Pharisee is more knowledgeable, he's more spiritually minded, he's going to naturally pray a longer prayer. Well, it doesn't necessarily follow. But the what they pray, we see a contrast between the two prayers. The Pharisee's arrogant, isn't he?
Oh, very much so. He, in essence, as we've said previously, really appears to be bragging to God about himself. What a upstanding and fine individual he is.
How spiritual he is, you know.
Yeah.
And the tax collector, on the other hand, he won't even look up toward heaven. He beats himself on his chest, and he just simply asks for God's mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
He's really the absolute picture of humility and contrition.
And rightly so. He needed forgiveness.
That's right.
But the Pharisee never you know, verbalizes any need for anything from God. He's just bragging to God about how good he is.
Yeah. And, you know, it's such an amazing stark contrast between these two men, Gary, and I'm so glad that our Lord saw fit to record this in the scriptures for us, because it tells us so much about how we, even today in the 21st century, need to approach God in prayer.
Amen. Amen. And we need to learn about prayer, and we did take a little time to study about prayer and its importance. Now, our Lord's pronouncement of judgment on the two men here, what did he say?
Well, basically, he said that the tax collector went down to his house justified rather than the other. Meaning the Pharisee.
Yes, the Pharisee did not go to his home justified.
Right.
The tax collector did. And it was the result of attitude expressed through their prayers.
Yes, it was.
We need to learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
The one whom the people would have expected to be justified mm-hmm. was not.
That's correct.
And the one who the people might have looked down upon, even though he was praying for mercy, they might have said, well, he's not going to get that. You know, he mm-hmm. doesn't deserve that. Jesus said he went down to his house justified.
Yeah, his heart was right with God at that point in his life. And, you know, as we've said, we don't know what brought him to that point, but whatever it was a good thing to happen to him because he did approach God with the right attitude, the right spirit, seeking God's mercy in his life.
Amen. And we need to have that attitude and that spirit
mm-hmm.
in our lives today and certainly in our prayer lives.
Absolutely right.
We all need God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, justified. He went down to his house justified.
Mm-hmm.
You illustrated that or mm-hmm. defined that well. What did you say?
Well, we might think of it as meaning just as if I never sinned. Justified. It, in essence, forgiven.
And forgiven. When God forgives, it's completely forgiven, mm-hmm. isn't it? I mean, it's
yep.
the record is gone. It's mm-hmm. erased.
Yeah, in Jeremiah's writings and again in the 8th chapter of Hebrews, the writers talk about God not remembering our sins. And that's exactly how it happens.
I like the way Peter put it in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Record's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And we read about before forgiveness, before being justified, your sins being as scarlet and then being as white as snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good picture.
Yes, it is. It is. I like, it was Micah, I believe, who talked about God forgiving their sins as though he was casting them into the depths of the sea.
Mm, yeah, another great picture.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Now, justified, forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, what are the consequences of being justified or not being justified? We're talking about the difference between heaven and hell, aren't we?
We certainly
Eternally.
Are. Eternally. Yes.
Well, let's do a little bit of a side trip on heaven and hell mm-hmm. in the Scriptures.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 22.
Jesus speaking said, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
Yes. Now, we could get into a discussion of the technical meanings of those particular expressions in the Hebrew language. But what we really want to focus on here is hell being a place of fire.
Yeah, exactly.
In Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, it describes that place of fire in more graphic terms.
If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched.
Unquenchable fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these descriptions really bother a lot of people. They have a tough time. Why would God punish somebody to that extent, unquenchable mm-hmm. fire, for eternity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can look in the Scriptures, and I think you can come away with an understanding that that is how terrible sin is
mm-hmm.
and its consequence.
Yeah. You know, we think about sin separating us from God, and the eternities of heaven and hell are a graphic example of that.
And we could, you know, some people will say, well, would a loving God consign someone to an eternity in a place like that? A loving God makes the place for you in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You choose
mm-hmm.
if you want to go to the other place.
Yeah, that's right, Gary. We're the ones who make that decision, in essence.
Yes. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. This is an interesting contrast between a place of unquenchable fire, and what Peter describes it as also.
For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment.
Chains of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we find hell being described as a place of outer darkness. Mm-hmm. And the understanding there is a darkness that is so dense, that is so complete. Somebody has described it as it's a darkness that can be felt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've talked about the comparison to being in a cave where they turn the lights off, mm-hmm. and you cannot see your hand in front of your face, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So a place of unquenchable fire and yet a place of utter darkness.
Hard for us to conceive of that kind of a place. There's the fire and there's the darkness at the same time.
We don't want to experience either one.
Exactly.
In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 42,
"And will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth."
The idea of being in such torment that you're grinding your teeth there.
Yes.
And when you think about it in terms of a place of unquenchable fire and a place of absolute darkness, mm-hmm. you can understand the agony.
And you add to that the idea of being a place of weeping. And
yes.
I think we could say weeping that doesn't stop.
Yes. Because you're talking about an eternal mm-hmm. reside.
Right.
Now, again in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46.
"And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life."
Everlasting, and there what you're saying, it never ends.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9.
"These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power."
Again, everlasting destruction, but also something that strikes me in that particular verse is completely cut off from God and his glory.
Yeah, no longer in God's presence.
Yes. Now, that perhaps is as profound a description of hell as we can come up with.
I think you're right.
Completely cut off from the goodness of God.
Yes.
Now, in regard to heaven, we find the complete opposite of what we've talked about in hell being like.
We do.
In going back to Matthew chapter 25, and this time verse 21, what do we read?
"His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'"
Joy, a place of joy.
Right.
And that is a description of the judgment or the blessing, the reward for those who will be with God in heaven for eternity.
Indeed.
Now in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 25 as well.
"Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'"
So, prepared for the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
See, God cares about us.
Yeah.
He has this place waiting for us.
Right.
He wants us to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we will not be with him, if we will not be with him, is because we choose to not be with him.
That's exactly right, Gary. You know, and as you were pointing out earlier, some people wonder about God judging people throughout all eternity. But again, it comes down to the choices that we make. You know, we choose whether we're going to walk that road that leads to heaven or we're going to walk that road that leads to hell.
And there's only two choices.
There are only two.
If we do not want to live that righteous life, then we can look forward to an eternity completely cut off from God, described in these various ways, a place of unquenchable fire, eternal darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth and torment and punishment, destruction, so on.
Yes.
Now, I opt for the other place, heaven.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, eternal joy, bliss, righteousness, happiness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more dying, as we read in Revelation chapter 7. Mm-hmm. Now, heaven is a place where our treasures can be safely stored. Matthew mm-hmm. chapter 6 and verse 20.
"But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal."
And Jesus here is certainly not talking about material treasures, you know, gold and silver, lots of money, you know, material possessions. He's talking about spiritual treasure.
Indeed he is.
Yes. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 23, what do we read?
Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward in heaven is great, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets.
So heaven is a place where the justified will be rewarded?
Yes, indeed.
Rewarded magnificently, and not because of our merits, but because by God's grace, he extends that reward to us by virtue of our obedient, consistently dedicated, and committed faith.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We have dedicated our lives to living for God.
I like this description I referred to a moment ago in Revelation chapter 7, talking about what it'll be like in heaven. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
A place absolutely opposite of hell.
It is indeed, and something we all need to be striving to attain.
Hell being a place of eternal condemnation and destruction, heaven being a place of eternal life and peace and bliss.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why, Gary, all of us need to try to live in such a way that we will stand justified before God.
Amen. Amen. We're not talking about incidental matters here.
No, we're talking about the eternal destiny of our soul.
Absolutely. We need to wake up.
Mm.
So many people need to wake up. And even those of us who might say, yeah, I did wake up years ago, we need to keep looking in that mirror you referred to in James chapter 1. You know, mm-hmm. And we need to keep examining ourselves. Am I still on the right road?
That's right.
Am I still living that justified life?
Yeah, because we can all make mistakes. We can all commit sin, even after we become a Christian. We can all probably look at our lives and say, you know what? I've got room for improvement.
Yes, yes. And it's by our individual personal choice.
Indeed.
Where we will be.
Indeed,
God wants us to be with him, but he leaves the choice up to us. Our time is up for today, so we'll stop and park here. We'll come back and continue our study next time. Until then, we do hope you'll write down that information we'll give you in just a moment, and we do hope that you will follow through and contact us and ask for that free Bible study. And again, you can receive a copy of today's program on CD for free. We'll take care of the postage. We hope to hear from you right away.